Hey guys, welcome back to the Honestly Though podcast. My name is Karen.
Oh, I messed you up! I forgot!
Jackie, you know that's how I introduce myself.
I know, I genuinely just forgot.
I gotta tell the people that I'm Karen with two E's.
I totally just messed you up. I'm sorry.
It's fine.
So this is Karen with two E's and I'm Jackie.
Yep, there you go.
And we're back again. I almost said I'm excited. It literally almost poured out of my mouth. And I was like, don't say you're excited. We've learned this lesson.
Anyways, yes, we are excited to be here. Another episode.
Can't get away from
talking
it.
All about relationships. And specifically today, we're talking all about
Marriage.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, we have something fun for this episode. So obviously for the singleness episode, if you haven't listened to that, go check it out. But in that episode, Karen interviews me because I am a single woman.
Right.
So she asked me a bunch of questions. So I thought we would turn the tables for this one because Karen is married.
I am.
So I thought it would be fun if we did a flip of it and kind of interviewed her. Kind of interviewing her literally from the perspective of a single girl. So like advice from a married woman kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just kind of see where this goes and see where it takes us. I have a few questions, but I'm sure that we'll get derailed at some point too.
We always get derailed.
All for good things though. So yeah. It's okay.
It's all good. Yes. I've been married for four years.
4 years. Yeah.
I got married at 21. So I was young. And it's been quite a roller coaster. I was telling Jackie before we hit record, I'm like, I'm not an expert. And sometimes I feel like I'm not knowledgeable enough or have enough experience to say all the things about marriage. But I do have some experience, obviously. Yeah. And I think it's valuable.
Exactly. It is valuable. And like, I literally said this to Karen. I was like, yeah, but you have more experience than I do.
Right.
So like,
I don't know why that made
you could out. Literally say anything and I'm going to be like, yeah, that's great advice. Because I have no idea.
Nah. Not to like, but you have the unique experience of being with living with your sister and brother-in-law and getting to witness a marriage like
I do
front row seat.
I do surround myself with a lot of married people and I literally live with my sister
really
who's married. Yeah, I know. It's like I'm trying to tell God something or I don't know.
I love it.
No, I was actually hanging out with my family this past week and we were talking about like singleness and stuff like that because like marriage, they're all married kind of thing and I'm not obviously. So they were like, yeah, but you like being single. And I was like, so yes, but if I could be married, I would. Like, let's not get that wrong. So yeah, marriage is great. We love it. I mean, I hope I love it one day, but.
But I feel like marriage is also a topic that some people shy away from. Like, so many people are afraid of marriage. I think the commitment.
Afraid?
Yeah.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
They think they, you know, they act like a married couple, but they don't want to put a title to it like a married couple. Because there is, you know, there is a bond that even legally is hard to break. So people are so afraid to make that jump.
Yeah.
And I just think that marriage is so important. And so, and I think it's important to say we're going to be talking from a Christian marriage. You know, it's different. I can't talk from a non-Christian marriage because that's not the marriage that I have.
That ain't real.
So obviously that this is my perspective as a Christian married woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, that is really true, especially now, like, divorce rates are like 50% or something like that. I love it when people always compare it to like flying an airplane and they're like, if you knew that flying an airplane had a 50% rate of you crashing, you would never get in it.
Yep.
And I'm like, okay,
that's a horrible analogy.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, why are you comparing it to like,
I wouldn't do anything if it was 50% chance.
But
of
you
failing.
Got married.
Right.
So, but right. I think the marriage like, I feel like that just is, like, a thing. Like, it is. It's just a thing of life, you know, to be married.
Stan and I said we were going to break that statistic. We're like, nope, we're not. Yep. We're not going to be part of that, so.
Yep. Hey, I get that. My sister and my brother, my sister is my half-sister, so she comes from divorced parents, and so does my brother-in-law, and they both said the same thing. They were like, once we're in this, we're in it. We're going to break that cycle. That cycle ends with us.
Yep, same. Literally
yeah,
same.
So it's real.
But yeah, I just think that a lot of people are just afraid of marriage, and I think I've come across a couple of women even that are just, they were raised by a single mom, and they didn't see the need of having a guy. And the fact that you have to, that God asked you in the Bible, biblically speaking, to submit to your husband. And, like, that, even just that idea, a lot of women are, like, afraid of it because they're like, what do you mean? I'm my own person. I'm Miss Independent. And then what do you mean I have to submit? Because submit just has a bad connotation to it, mm-hmm. but it does, it's not.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
but, yeah, it's just, that... like, when we're like, yeah, I mean, my mom was dad and the mom, so, I could be okay without a husband, you know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, and that is normalized in our culture today, but even, like, the thing you said about submitting, like, that's something that I've struggled with, too, because mm-hmm. I'm a strong, independent girl, so I'm like, yeah. I'm not submitting, what are you talking about? And that's something that me, myself, I have to, like,
yeah,
I know that when I am married and when I'm in that relationship, that's gonna be a learning curve for me.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, it's still a learning curve for me, too. So yeah. It's it doesn't get easier, but it does. Right. But you do have, you have tools along the way to help you, so.
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready to dive in with these questions I have for you?
Let's go.
Okay. So, first question. What's something marriage has taught you about yourself, good and bad?
So, I'm answering the good and the bad?
Yep.
Okay. I was just going to talk about the good. Something that marriage has taught me about myself. That I am more selfish than I thought. Ooh. And that kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. Like, I thought it was going to be easy, especially me being 21. Like, it was going to be easy for me to think about another person. But, like, it's a constant, like, battle for me to, like, have to think about Stan all the time. Like, mm-hmm. when I make, you know, even simple decisions, like, what I'm going to have for dinner. Like, sometimes I'm, or even lunch, like, I'm just going to cook for myself. I'm going to make myself a sandwich. And then I'm like, oh. And then he's like, hey, did you make me something? And I'm like,
made you the sandwich.
And that's like a silly example, but like something like that speaks volumes to your husband. So like for me, it's like I didn't realize just how much I thought about myself in like day-to-day things. And like, oh, well, I'll make plans. And then I'm like, all my plans are based around what I want, what my schedule is. And now, as I've gone along in my marriage, I realize like, or I have to step back and be like, okay, is this okay with Stan or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, knowing that you're selfish is not really that fun.
Wait, was that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a bad thing.
Okay,
selfish is a good thing.
true. That's a silly question.
But yeah. I realized just how much I thought about myself and how much that affected him and our marriage.
How did it affect it? How does it affect him?
Well, he feels left out and like I just have not thought about him and like that just makes him feel unimportant and not prioritized. And like your husband should be the priority in your life. I mean, yes, you have God, but like that's literally the next person in line. And so for him, it's just even a simple thing like not having his lunch. Like for some people might be like, that's dumb. Can't he just make his own food? I mean, yes. But like just the idea that I thought about him mm-hmm. it speaks volumes to him. And so I think for him, it's just a matter of also respect, like respecting that he's there, respecting that he's valuable too. Like hey, you're not in this alone. Like you're I'm here, I'm your partner. So, like, he's definitely felt defeated in a lot of ways when I just think about myself and, like, not prioritize him.
Yeah.
So.
It's so interesting that you say that, too, because I think I said this in the singleness episode. If not, it's something I say about singleness a lot. Like, this is the only time in your life when you can be truly selfish.
Yes.
And that's something that I, like, fully embrace now. I love to do that. It's something I enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. But I guess that's true. Like, that's not something that is just going to turn off one day.
No. It's something that you have to be intentional about.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, for you, it might be a little bit easier, specifically because you're a 2 on the Enneagram, and you tend to think about others even before yourself.
Yeah.
Like, whereas I'm the opposite of that. That's like, true. I'm very self-centered sometimes. So, like, I have to be intentional about thinking of him. But you're right. Like, either way, if you've been single for a while and you've learned to be independent, even if you don't live with your parents and now you really are independent and doing your own thing, like that's not a switch that just gets turned off. Like it's something that you have to be like every day.
Yeah.
I have to think about you and your needs and your love language. And it's not even like, And it's not when you feel like it. It's not when you're like, I'm in a good mood, so I'm going to think about you. Like, it's even when you're having a bad day, you have to think about the other person. Like, yeah. That's when it's tough. Because, like, when you just, I just want time to myself. Like, you can have that, but you also have to consider the other person. Like, it does not ever get turned off. Like, I can't just roam around a whole 24 hours without thinking about my husband. You know what I mean? Like, maybe, like, that's even actually, if I'm out of town, like.
Actually, that is so true, even when you say it like that, because there can be days when I'm just, like, not feeling it, and I can lock myself in my room, and, like, no one can talk to me, and I can turn my phone off kind of thing. But, like, you can't do that when you're married.
No, like, I mean, if, unless you have an awesome husband that would be like, hey, forget about me for 24 hours.
But like, is that even real? Like,
I mean, that could be such an exception, but like,
does someone has been do that, let me know.
I mean, if I were to ask for it, I'm sure Stan would be like, sure, but like, even then, like, he's like, have your location on, like, don't shut it off. Like, I need to know, are you okay?
Have your location on. Yeah, and like, he'll be calling in to check on you, yes, kind of thing, like, if he hasn't right. heard from you. No, that's so true.
So that is the bad. Something good, that's hard because I don't tend to think about anything good about myself.
Something marriage has taught you about yourself that's good.
Something the marriage has taught me.
Maybe it's something that Stan compliments you on.
I think my discipline with like every area in our marriage, like especially when it comes to finances, I think I'm like so good at that stuff. Like from the beginning, I was just so disciplined. With our finances, even when we both were broke 21-year-old. Well, I was 21, barely had a job. Stan mm-hmm. was 23, had a job, but, like, barely got paid. And so, like, we're like, let's make it work. And literally, I made it work. And he always compliments me on that. Like, he's like, he says that I'm the reason, like, where we're at financially in our savings That's and cool. whatever is because of that. And I think I just learned that from a young age, how to manage money.
Yeah.
And so cool. I do think that's a good thing because he's a spender, but I've made him into a saver, which is awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say the Stan that I know is definitely a saver, although he likes to be generous.
Yeah, he's definitely almost like he'll save enough so he could spend.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
So he's
exactly.
like, he's like, oh, I want this whatever. Okay, that means I have to save yeah. for it. It's not like I'm going to go into debt. We don't. So I think he's learned that from me. Where he's actually taught me to be more of a spender and not so like
holding on to my money
yeah. so much. So
that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's kind of a cool thing to highlight too, because I don't think that's something like I think marriage obviously gets romanticized, especially right. to like single people or like dating people. Like you just think about the good things.
Yeah.
But finances is like a very real thing that when you're married, even probably pre-marriage, you're gonna have to talk about and figure mm-hmm. out those kinds of things. Like, are you having a joint account? Are you having a separate account? Like, how are you right. doing your money, kind of thing.
And like spending habits, like you don't realize just how much you're, like what your spending yeah. habits are until you're married and you're like, oh snap.
Yeah,
like,
and someone is literally there seeing how you spend every single dollar. Yep.
Yep. And at the beginning of our marriage, I used to feel guilty like spending any of our money because it was our account.
Yeah.
We had joint accounts, and so he could see any transaction I made or whatever. And like, I felt guilty because he was the one basically making the most money. So I was like, I'm spending your money. I'm so sorry. I would tell him like, I'm so sorry. And he's like, no, this is our money. So it took me a little while to like even get through that. But yeah, so finances, I think if you can get a hold of your personal finances now as a single person, mm-hmm. and even if you're in a serious relationship, getting your own personal finances in check
Before
is going to set you up for
yeah.
your marriage. So, yeah.
and
so
asking,
amazing.
I think asking those kinds of questions too, like in your dating and or engaged life, like how you're going to handle that, because that's a huge part of your
yeah.
relationship
yeah.
once you're married mm-hmm. that you can't avoid.
You can't.
Like, you have
and
to
like,
talk about that.
And like if you're dating and or if you're engaged, like figuring, like really studying how your significant other handles money themselves, because
yeah.
yeah. that's important. Cause,
yeah,
like
no.
it's not like these habits people assume, oh, I'm just gonna break it when I get married. Like, oh, it'll be better when I get married.
Red flag.
That's a big red flag. That's a big one, because like people are like, okay, well, when we get married, things will be better. But honestly, marriage just highlights everything.
Yeah.
Like it just puts it on a spotlight. So if you think you had a problem dating or engaged, it's gonna arise even more so when you're married. So
that's so real.
So
that's so good.
If finances is your thing, put that in check. Oh, check, get it.
Okay, that was a good one. I didn't catch it right away. That's good.
I didn't catch it either. Okay.
Stan would have been proud of that.
Yes, he will.
Okay, next question. Ready?
Yeah.
How has being a wife changed your perspective on life?
Oh my gosh. I feel like marriage is not, like, as, like, fun and silly as, like, the singleness and, like, dating, like, episodes, because we're all, like, giddy about everything. And here we're, like, finances. Serious.
This is serious.
This is how I've been a good and bad person. Can you ask the question again?
Yeah. How has being a wife changed your perspective on life?
Kind of answered it already in the first one, but I think it's just made me a more humble person. And, like, I don't say that, like, arrogantly. I think it's just, it's made me realize, like, there's more to life than just me and my needs. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, and because I've had to learn that with Stan, it's made me more, a better person for other people and be able to think about others before I think about myself. Sometimes I fail. I mean, I'm not perfect at that, but I think that's how it's made me a better person. Stan is definitely, we definitely balance each other out. Like, the things that he's really strong at, I don't tend to be strong at. So he's definitely made me a much nicer and better person. Like, before I was just all about me. And now I'm like, oh, there's other people in this world and I need to think of them. And that makes me sound so messed up, but, like, I think that answers that. I think is, it makes me just a better person. Just see people in a just the way even that Jesus would see them, you know what I mean? Like, it definitely has changed me. Because, I mean, marriage humbles you. I mean, it shows you parts of yourself, like in the first question, that you just never knew you had. Mm-hmm. And so then when you get, you know, when you get
put on blast and you get wrecked,
and then you're able to build yourself up, and then that sets you up for other people. And that's me. Yes.
So, like, okay, this is kind of a follow-up question to both of those, because I think both those answers go together. Like, when do you think that started to happen for you guys? Like, when do you think that, like, learning and, like, that put on blast happened? Because people always say, like, there's the honeymoon phase, you know, like, kind of thing. Like,
can I speak on the honeymoon phase real quick?
Yes.
Because, like,
do it. Go for it.
So, like, there is a honeymoon phase. Like, I understand that. But the first year of marriage, for me and a lot of people that I've been, that are married, and we've talked about this before, it's not easy. Like, the first year does not feel like a honeymoon, because you're coming from two different worlds. And so when you're dating and you're engaged, everything's fun. Like what I was saying earlier, like, everything's just, it's easy. It should be, at least. Like, yes, maybe engagement is harder because you're thinking about your wedding, but, like, even then, like, it's relatively fun. It's,
yeah.
But when you join two lives together, man, the things that come up, you're like, oh, I didn't see this side of you or whatever. So, like, the honeymoon phase is not a myth, but, like, it's not what people assume it is. Like, it's not just, oh my gosh, I wake up next to you and I just want to have sex with you all day. And, like, I just want to look pretty all the time for you and cook every meal. Like, it might be like that for a little bit, but, like, to be honest, it goes away really fast. And it's not a whole year. Like, there's exceptions. Like, there's people that are literally, like, they're just rainbows and butterflies and all the things all the time. Yeah. But, like, if you're two strong people, it's not that great. But then you learn. You do learn. Yeah. And
those things come up, like you said. Right.
Yes, they do. So what was the question? I keep going back.
I said, like, when do you think that those, like, things, like, got put on blast? Like, at what point in your relationship? But you kind of answered that, like
it happens, like, right away. Within a couple of months. Like, within...
She's, like, the second after I said I do.
Even, like, our honey... Yes, actually. Yes. No, because, like, when we got married, we said I do. I was so excited. I was ready for the party. Let's go. And Stan didn't even really want a party. Like, he was just ready to, like, start our life together. Like, Stan was just like, can we get to the honeymoon? Forget all these people. It's just about you and I now. And I was like, but I want a party. And so we partied. And even during the party, he was like, can we just go? Like, can we just, like,
okay, wait, funny
drive
story.
Away already?
Funny story. Okay, so my cousin got married a couple years ago. Maybe, like, 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
If my cousin's listening, love you. No, not throwing any shade to you, but... they had their wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. It was great. Like, my family definitely knows how to party. It was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
They left halfway through their reception. Like, literally, they were just like, we out, guys. Like, we're done. Have fun. Keep the party going. But we're outie. And they didn't tell anyone. Like, they were super low-key. Like, they looked like they were just, like, going to the bathroom real quick kind of thing, and then they never came back. And we were all like, where'd they go? And they were like, oh, they left. And we, like, you know how, like, at a wedding you do, like, the farewell thing and, like, send them off? We didn't get to do that. Like, there's nothing. And so, like, they got to be, like, very intimate and personal. Like, their bridal party did that kind of thing. So, like, it was, like, to them it was still beautiful and, like, what they wanted. But they literally did that. They were like, we outie. We just want to get going.
Like, but I didn't want to go. Like, I was like, I want to stay here. And I think for me, it was like, I know that once I leave, it's real. Like,
yeah, true.
Like, even while you're standing in front of the altar, like, it still feels like you're just with your boyfriend. Like, when you step out of the
party.
That
is such a good point. Like, when did it hit you that he was your husband?
When we came back from our honeymoon. Because, like, when, like, we came back from honeymoon, I was, like, still, you know, you just went on a vacation together. Yeah. So, like, you're just in a whole other world. Like, reality really has not kicked in. And I was, I got home and I was, like, I started crying. Because I'm a very emotional person, okay? But I started crying. I was also on birth control, okay? So it made me crazy. But I started crying. He's, like, why are you crying? And I was, like, because we're married. And, like, he's, like, are you, like... Are you sad we're married? And I'm like, no,
I can picture Stan, like, you crying, so and you were like, were you in your apartment at that point?
Yes.
So, like, it's essentially your first point, like, being together in your apartment, starting your life, and you're crying, and Stan's like, oh, no.
Yes, like, I don't know if it's, like, everybody goes through that, but for me, it was just like, my gosh, I'm not, like, my mom and dad can't take care of me anymore, like, this is me. And also, I mean, again, like, that also speaks into, like, me being 21 and, like, never leaving home until that point. So, like, I was very much attached to my family. But
yeah, that's true.
And Stan was much more independent, so he was like, I'm out. But, like, for me, I was like, I started crying. So that's when it kicked in. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, my parents are not going to take care of me. Like, this is me and Stan. Like, every little thing now is just us. And so that was scary, actually. On our honeymoon, the first night we were together, like, officially, biblically speaking, I woke up the next day and he wasn't there, and, like, I didn't realize what was going on. I actually forgot that we got married that day before. Like,
You leave, like, right after your wedding? You went on your honeymoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so when we woke up at the hotel, like, Stan comes out of the bathroom, and I was like, like, I felt guilty. Like, what are you doing here?
No,
like,
that's such a good question. I have that question. Like, I think about that all the time. I'm like, were you just, like, all of a sudden okay? Was that weird?
No, like, it was weird. Like, it wasn't, like, it's because we waited till, like, marriage. So, yeah. Like, we had not seen each other in that light. So, like, for me, I was like...
And it's always weird because, like, you know, at a wedding, like, especially when it's a Christian wedding, like, everyone's like, oh, you know, with their
name. Yeah, right.
But at the same, like, I've always thought, I was like, does anyone ever go home and just, like, not?
Yes. So, like, I mean, if we're going to get personal, like, it took me a while to, like, want to do it because I felt so...
You felt weird.
I felt guilty because for so long, some people tell me, like, you don't can't do it. This. Wait till marriage. Like, biblically speaking, you can't do it. But now you can. And you can do whatever you want. And so...
That's
you're
weird.
Like, it's for me personally, it wasn't a switch. Like, okay, I can't one day. And
I guess
now
some
I
people,
can.
Like, I know some people say, like, yep, like, we were good right away. Like,
It just, I guess it depends on the person, but like, for me personally, it was not like that. Like, it wasn't like what the movies would be like, let's just have roses on in our room and, like, candles and champagne. Like, for me,
what?
I was like,
Stan didn't do that for you?
For me, I was like, so are you allowed to see my, like, boobs? Like, I don't,
like, what don't do look, I do? I'm getting changed.
Wait, like, do I touch you? Like, so it was, for me personally, it was definitely interesting. But also, I think it's cool. Like, I think that's something
to, like, experience that.
Yeah, because, like, it's something that you didn't experience when you were engaged or you didn't experience when you were dating. And so now it's so unique to your marriage.
Yeah.
So it's exactly God's plan for your life, you know? So
it makes your marriage special.
Yeah. Yeah. Sex, if you're having it for the first time, it's not, like, this romanticized thing. Like, it's awkward. Like, then, you know, you get used to it, but whatever. That's besides the point. Man, we
took a turn, right?
I always end up talking about sex somehow in relationships. Like, don't do it. And I'm like, you can do it.
Now all of a sudden you're like, green light, go.
Yes.
Okay. What question was that? Oh, okay. I know. I got it. Okay. Okay, so... Next question, taking a new turn. Okay, So if you were to go back in time to when you were either single, dating, engaged, or all three, Is there something that you wish you would have done? Or, like, in personal growth and experiences, like, stuff like that, is there something you wish that you had taken more time to do in your single / dating / engaged life?
Wow. So I wish that I would have finished school. University. I think we talked a little bit about that in an earlier episode. Yeah, but I didn't finish school, and it was funny. Like, a lot of people at the time when I told them that I wasn't gonna go back to school after I got married, they were like, they told me you need to go back. Like, if once you leave, it's gonna be harder for you to get that momentum back. Like, life is just gonna get harder, and so you should just do it. And I was like, I'll be fine. Like, marriage ain't gonna stop me. Like, I was just, I guess, a little prideful in that. I was so concerned about finances and all that stuff that I just didn't even think about going back. And now it's been 4 years, and you know, I want to finish. But it's definitely going to be a lot more disciplined now because There's just so much more responsibility that I had When I first got married.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a big one for me. I think finishing school, like, if someone's out, if you're engaged and someone's telling you, like, you're dating, like, you're like, oh, I mean, maybe I can quit right now and maybe I'll jump into it later in the future. Like, I would say, nah, like, do it right now. Like, especially right now, you could literally just think about yourself and not have to worry, and it's gonna benefit you in so many ways.
Yeah.
So
that's actually such a interesting thing that you said. I remember when my sister was engaged. She got engaged, I guess it was her junior year of college, Maybe. Might have been definitely her junior year of college. And she probably would have gotten married like that summer if she could have, kind of thing. But my dad's rule was you cannot get married in college. He was like, you can graduate and then you can get married. And that's what she did. She literally graduated and Then 2 months later got married.
Yeah.
So, like, that was, like, such a big thing that my dad, Literally, he was like, no. He was like, you can be engaged, but you're not getting married until you're married.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in everybody's case is different. Like, for me, I don't regret getting married that quickly.
No.
I think I just regret not finishing school While I was still married. Like, I remember we got married in March. And then we went to our honeymoon. We came back and we had to take a final. Like, it was so weird. Like, it was literally, like, we came back a couple of days later. We had to take our finals. And
that's so weird.
It was so weird.
You got married while you were still in school?
Yeah.
Oh, just, I don't want to do that.
But it was, for us, it was twofold. It was just, we really wanted to get married, but also there was some legal stuff that was going on with me personally and my visa that we decided to get married earlier because of that. So it wasn't, I would have preferred to wait after I was done with at least that semester, but there was just some legalities that I needed to take care of. But either way, like, I still should have finished school. I finished the semester, but, like, I didn't finish the...
You didn't go back.
Yeah, I didn't go back.
Yeah, same with Stan, too, right?
You yeah, we both decided to hold it off, and we just said, once we pay debt, and then the finish line just got further and further out. Like, once we do this, we'll do it. Like, Once we get here, we'll do it. And really, it's just a matter of, like, at this point, it's just saying, let's do it, because There's no perfect time to go back to school. So I feel like if you already have the momentum, just finish.
Keep going. No, I agree with that just in school in general. Like, I mean, when I was in school, even though I did love it, there was plenty of times when I was like, why am I going to school for a degree that I don't want to use? Like, I should just quit.
Yeah.
And it was a constant thing of, like, this is your time to do it. Like, Just finish it. Just finish it. You already started. Just finish while you have this now. Mm-hmm. And even with grad school, too, I don't think I've said it on the podcast yet, but, like, I'd actually deferred grad school. I think I've mentioned it before. I was supposed to start in the fall, but with everything going on with, like, COVID and, like, online learning and all this stuff, I just kind of decided that I'm going to wait a semester because I don't like online learning.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting and I'm going to start in the spring. And even that, I'm like, I want to start in the spring. I don't want to push it off more because I know I'm like, I might not be able to do that again. Like, Who knows even where I'll be in the fall, but I want to make sure that becomes a priority for me.
Yeah, no, that's really important. And I think it goes to any, like, big goal that you have in your life. Yeah. Like, not to say that marriage stops that, but it definitely prolongs it sometimes. Yeah, there's a curveball. And I mean, there's great. I mean, there's, if you marry someone that's awesome, like they'll push you to your dreams and your goals and all that. But it's a lot easier when you just have to, you can only think about yourself in that moment. If it's your personal thing, like it doesn't, you don't have to worry about another person when you're pursuing a goal. Yeah. Like, so I say, like, if there's anything that you're really wanting to do, like, and if you don't have someone right now, like, just do it. Like, just go for it right now, because it is truly the best time to do it.
That's so good.
Obviously be smart about it. Like, no one just like go and do your dream and whatever, but like take a risk, especially right now. If there's any time to take a risk, it's probably right now.
Yeah.
So
that's so true.
Because like after you have someone else to be responsible for, it's definitely a lot different.
Yeah.
And so especially, or if you have a kid early on in your marriage, like everything's just, it does get more complicated.
That's so true, because once you're married, like, who knows what could happen? Like, you might not be trying, but the Lord might say it's time to have a kid, and then now you would take that role on of mom or dad, and you're like,
so like, dang. That's the beauty of, you know, being single or dating, like, and not married, is you have the ability to do so much with your time and be selfish a little bit because you can.
Yeah, even in dating too, like, yes, you still want to like be connected to that person, but like you could go on a trip or go to school or do whatever you want and be like, hey, this is something that I want to do, and you know, if they are the right one, they're going to support you in that, and you don't have to worry about taking them with you, kind of thing, or like asking them if you can, something like that. Like, you can say, this is my decision and I want to go do it.
Even looking at you and your goals and dreams, like, that's a lot easier for you to do because you can do it right now, because you don't have someone to be responsible for.
That's actually so true. Okay, so this is like a funny story. So I was looking at cars this past week, because I have a lease on my car, so my car is up in next May. My car will be up, so like I have plenty of time to like look at it. But the company that I work for, like, once you hit a certain level, they pay for your car, but it has to be a Lexus. So I was looking at Lexuses, because I was like, ideally by the time I need a new car, I'll be able to get one of those. So I was looking at them, and I was talking to my friend, and I was like, I think I want to get a sports car. And she was like, really? Why? Like, don't you love your SUV? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I love having an SUV. Like, it really is great, but it definitely is like a mom car. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I really need that right now? No. Has it been useful? Absolutely. I have definitely put my SUV, like, I've used it to its full extent, no doubt about it. And I love having all that room to like put stuff in or move, or like, I've moved so many times in that car, like I can't even express it. But but when I got my SUV, the other car that I was looking at was a sports car, and I never got to get it because I got my SUV. So I was like, I think that when it's time for me to get a new car, I want to get a sports car.
Do it.
And she was like, do it. She literally, what she said, she was like, you should do it because you can. And I was like, this was just me daydreaming, but like, Lexus came out with like a new convertible one, and I was like, oh my gosh, like 12-year-old me would scream if she knew that I was getting a convertible. Like, what a dream that would be. So it was just like cool, and that's literally one of those things that like, I can do that right now. I don't have to worry about having like a mom car.
You don't. And like, and it's not to say like you're a wild child, like gonna go risk everything and get yourself into crazy debt. Like, we're not saying that. I think it's just taking, not being so like, just having fun and enjoying that time and being able to, and just, I'm here to remind you that you can do that right now.
Yeah.
Like, you don't, like, for me, I can still accomplish my goals and all my dreams, but I do have to remember that Stan, my husband, is someone that I have to consider and when I pursue those dreams and goals. Like, I can't just do it and be like, bye. Like,
Look, I got a sports car
without telling you. You know, that actually reminds me of, like, you know those commercials of, like it's Christmas time.
And they buy them a car? Whose money do they use to buy that car? I think about that all the time.
It's like,
I'm like, didn't they see it? A huge,
beautiful bow and like on the car, and you're like,
I think about that.
Whose bank account did you use?
Literally, I even me as a single person, I'm like, don't they see it? Like, didn't they see that giant transaction? Because your bank would alert you.
Yeah. Like, so I don't know. That's not real, okay, guys? Like, that's not real at all. But yeah, that's definitely going back to school and just finishing that would definitely be my answer. Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought of one more question as we were talking.
Okay.
So, last question.
Bonus question.
Bonus round. What is something that you think should be on everyone's list?
On, like, their future husband list?
Yeah. Rather than, like, obviously we talked about lists in, like, the singleness episode and stuff like that. Like, aside from that, you as a married woman, like, what's something that you think now, like, looking back, you wish that you would have told yourself, like, whether it's something that Stan has that you, like, know now that's a good standard to have, or even something that you just have realized through other people?
My initial answer is definitely to find a very strong Christian, like, having a strong Christian man, like, and really putting that on your list, and it be the top, like, not a second choice, not an afterthought. It should be your first thing, because honestly, and, like, it's kind of like what you were saying when you talked about your list and being specific, like, how do you want them to be as a Christian? Yeah. Like, you said, bold, courageous, like, being specific with that. But I think I think that's the most important, because from there, everything else stems from.
Yeah.
So, like, the way that he loves you will stem from the way that he loves Jesus. The way that he's able to respect you is the way that he's able to, is connected with his relationship with Jesus. So, like, yes, there are so many amazing qualities that I can say, you know, like, make sure that he respects you, make sure that he loves you, make sure that he treats you right, whatever. But, like, really, in at the end of it, he needs to be someone that loves and wants to honor God in every decision of his life. Because then, I can't even tell you the difference from it's night, like, from night to, or from night to day, whatever it is, like, whatever the expression is. But, like, it's just, it's so evident. And there's times where, like, you know, I'm slacking in my Bible reading, or I'm not as strong that season, or vice versa. Like, your marriage is directly affected by your relationship with God. And that's why I was saying, you know, in the beginning of this episode, I'm talking from a Christian perspective, but, like, I think women, you know, especially if you're a Christian girl and you go to church, like, I think after so long, you had a Christian boyfriend and they let you down, and so you're like, well, every Christian boy is probably going to be like that. Yeah. Or the further along you are in your singleness, the less likely you're like, I'll be able to find this person, or the more likely
you start to lower your standard.
Yeah, the more you settle. And so, like, don't give up on that. Like, if that's something that you really want, like, don't give up on it,
because, or maybe something you used to want,
or maybe something now that you've lowered your
standard,
don't give up on it. And if you have to go back to it, like, go back to it. If you're in a relationship where you know that that's not, your husband's not going to be someone that's going to honor God, trust me, that's going to make such a big difference in your relationship. Like, the love and all that lovey-dovey stuff that you're going through in your dating life, it's not that it's going to go away, but that's not going to be the only, like, the priority in your marriage. Like, you're still going to love each other, but there's going to be some days that you're going to choose to love that person, but there's just some days that aren't that passionate, or that, you know, that fire that you feel. So, like, really, that would be my biggest thing, is make sure that you're praying for someone who, like Jackie's praying, like, courageously and boldly and seriously follows Christ, not just goes to church every once in a while, not just considers it, but, like,
really. Be very specific in your wording. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, obviously I shared, like, those are my two words, and that's something that I work on, like, in my own personal faith. Mm-hmm. So, but maybe it's something else for somebody else. Maybe there's different things that you find attractive, or that you hope to have. Like, maybe you need a strong leader or something like that. So
exactly.
Just figure out what you want. And I think another important thing with this too is remember that, just kind of building off what you said, remember that it comes down to what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, you might have someone that your parents love or that your family loves, and they're like, oh, you should marry them. But at the end of the day, you're going to be going home with them. Mm-hmm. And if you decide you want a Christian man, don't settle for anything less.
Yeah.
So,
and don't just go by, like, by your feelings or the culture romanticizing marriage. Because, like I was saying earlier, like, it's not this, like, rainbow and butterflies and all the great things in life. Like, there's amazing things in it, but don't just jump into marriage just because it's exciting. Yeah. It's an exciting thought. So I'm so excited. I love them so much.
Okay. That's actually a really interesting point that you brought up, because a YouTuber I watch, she, like, met her husband, like, suddenly, and, like, their relationship, like, grew very, very fast in a very short period of time. And she said that one thing that happened within that she, like, really was praying for, because she hadn't experienced it before, like, in her past relationships, it was filled with feeling, and so that caused a lot of confusion for her. Mm-hmm. So one thing that she, like, constantly prayed for in her new relationship was that she just had that peace from God, that, like, she wasn't overwhelmed with those, like, feelings of lovey-doveyness or romanticizing things. And that was something she said to, I think, her now husband. She was like, when we met and, like, began our relationship, and although it happened very fast for us, although I knew that I had those feelings for him, it was never a confusion by feelings. It was just a constant peace of knowing that this was it. That, like, this was the person she'd been praying for, kind of thing.
Yeah. God gives you that peace. Like, once you, when you really give it to God, like, it's not something that he just forgets. Like, he, it might feel that way sometimes. It might feel like that when you're single and alone and just really want that person. But God has not forgotten about you, and he knows. Yeah. And that person's out there. And I think for a while, I was so focused when I was single, like, oh, I'm praying for this guy and he needs to do this or be that or whatever. But then God really spoke to me and he was like, you also need to prepare yourself as for what he's praying for.
That's because so good.
If he's following Christ as well, he's praying for a godly wife. He's praying for a wife that's courageously, boldly following Jesus. Like, he's praying for that. So you need to also become that person that he's praying for. And so it took away from me wanting to just think about him, or and also just think about myself. Like, how am I developing myself to be a future wife?
Yeah.
And I mean, and from there you can take it however you want. But that's a huge one. And Stan says this all the time. He's like, marriage is the most beautiful thing and most wonderful thing I've ever done, but it's also one of the hardest things I've ever done. It's both. It's not either or. It's literally both. So, like, yes, marriage is fun and exciting, and you know what? I would never. I know that I got married young, and people are like, "Didn't you just miss out on life? You're gonna miss out and blah blah." Like, I think, like, because I married my best friend, like, I have so much fun. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I don't feel like I've missed out, but it definitely made me grow up a lot quicker. Like, a lot quicker. Like, I look at 21-year-olds now and I'm like, whoa, like, was that me? Like,
no, I think about that because it was 21 last year and I'm like, I could not be married right now. I could not be married right now.
Right. You have to be smart about it. Like, again, don't go off your feelings. Like, really look at where you are in life and, like, can you be with another person in this way?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was good. Those were good questions. Good job.
Thank you. I did a lot of research.
I know there's a lot to go into marriage. And, like, again, we've said in the beginning of this relationship series was, you know, we're going to talk more about this. We're going to talk more about singleness. Yeah. We're going to talk about more about dating and marriage. Yeah. Just because, really, there's so much to it. And Jackie and I talk about this pretty much every time we're together. We talk about either single, dating, marriage, all of them.
Yep.
So
it's relevant in both of our lives, obviously. So, it's definitely a constant conversation. And I feel like this was just opening the door to that conversation and, like, putting it out there to start it.
Surround yourself with married people that you love and trust.
Oh my gosh, yes. I cannot say that enough. Surround yourself with married people. Not all married people. You should still have people who are at the same stage of life as you. But that is definitely one of the things that has taught me so much about marriage, is just being surrounded by married people.
Even for myself, like, being surrounded by people that have been married way longer than I have. Yeah. Like, 10 plus years or even 20 plus years, like, I can glean so much.
You learn so much.
And, like, and there's times where I'm just like, is this normal? Like, and I just text them, like, is this okay? Like, what's going on? But yeah, surrounding yourself with people that are at least one step ahead of you is going to benefit you. Yeah. So that was fun.
That was good. I liked that conversation.
That was good.
That was fun.
I hope you guys are excited for, like, marriage and stuff.
I am.
I know you are. Anyway, so our TBH of the week.
Our TBH.
Have you had time to think of it?
Yes, I actually had a few.
Wow.
I know, because I was thinking about it all week. I also had a very exciting week, so, like, I was thinking about it, you know what I mean?
So then you start.
So, if you have Netflix, you have seen that Zac Efron came out with a new show. Karen's laughing at me.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if
Down
we've
to
ever,
Earth.
Yeah, Down to Earth. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast before, but I have a deep love for Zac Efron. So does Karen. But she's married. So, I have deep love for Zac Efron. And I saw this tweet. If you, like, I don't know if you follow Zac Efron, you've probably seen it floating around. And it was like, I just really want to thank Zac Efron for being my type from when I was 12 to when I was 16 to when I was 20. And I just really related to that in a lot of ways. And I want to bring it to attention again.
Okay.
Because, like, when we were young, you know, like, High School Musical came out and he's like everyone's first crush. That's my age.
Oh, he was my first crush.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's everyone's first crush. And he was on Disney Channel and he was so cool and he could sing and, like, he was so fun and all this stuff. And then, you know, he started making more movies and, like, when I was in high school, he was still popular and he was still cool, but he was making, like, more like adult like movies. And then right. now that we're I'm 22 and he came out with Down to Earth, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know you're 10 years older than me, but I love him.
Yeah.
I genuinely, like, have a crush on him. Zac Efron, if you ever hear this, please marry me.
Literally, like, she told me she loved it. Obviously, I love the show. I think the show in itself is so good.
Oh, it's so good. Even if you don't like, even if you aren't, like, a big Zac Efron fan, the show itself has so much information.
Yeah, it's so informative. So, it's a docuseries. So, yeah. It's really, really good. So, obviously, I used to have a crush on Zac Efron. Was like, in sixth grade or something, but like obviously now I don't see him in that light. But so I knew that she would eventually text me about it, and she did. Then the next day she just sent me a random picture of him and was like, just in case you forgot, I still love him. I'm like, no, I didn't forget.
No, because he like posted on Instagram and screenshotted it.
So I forgot, like, that I did girl, that. This girl. Well, talking about a show, mine's also about a show.
Oh my gosh,
I have been literally obsessed with Hamilton.
Like, oh my gosh.
I watched it, so I made it like a thing for Stan and I to watch it together and make it like a really cute romantic thing. So it came out on July 3rd, I think, and I was like,
it definitely came out on July 4th, right? Didn't it?
No,
didn't they do that on July 4th?
It was a Friday.
That so was a missed 3rd. opportunity. Why didn't they do July 4th?
Oh, wow, that's so smart. Anyway, anywho. Sorry. So we made it a point, and like I had like a picnic set up for us, and like we had candles, and like we watched it on like on the TV. It was great. Like 3 hours long though, but it was so freaking good. And like ever since, like, I've watched at least parts of it every day. Like yesterday I watched like maybe 30 minutes of it, and then the day before that I watched another 30. Like, I haven't sat down and watched the whole thing. But if you have not seen Hamilton, you're missing out. It's a musical.
It is really good. I watched it too. It's really good. Oh, I don't think goodness. I'm obsessed with it as you are. I saw it once.
I think I am, because like I love music in general. Yeah. Like, and I appreciate a great singer. So like I was just like,
it definitely like blew me away. Even while I was watching it, I was like, this is so impressive. Just like the production. I really like plays in general. That's something that mm-hmm. I did like growing up. So I really like productions and stuff. So on that aspect, I was so impressed. Yeah. But like, it is like, if you love music, you're going to relate to it more, I feel like.
Yeah.
So.
So anyway, that I loved it. So I guess our TBHs were about shows.
Yeah. So if you're bored in the house this week and have Netflix, go watch Down to Earth and Hamilton.
Yes.
And
or find a friend has a Netflix account and steal it from them.
Yeah. I'm not sharing mine, sorry.
No. Anyway, we will talk to you guys next time on the Honestly Though podcast.
Love you, Zac Efron. Bye.
Bye.
Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
And if you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it on your Instagram stories, share it with your friends, and also tag us at Honestly Though Podcast.
Yes, and don't forget to subscribe to us right here and leave us a review. Seeing your reviews really help us create the content that we know you guys want to hear from us.
So we'll see you next Tuesday on the Honestly Though Podcast.
Bye!
Peace!